Okay, so just read that one little section, then we can both comment on that. Now we're on page 9 of the Manual for Teachers, section 4. What are the characteristics of God's teachers? I love this section, by the way. Love it! Okay. The surface traits of God's teachers are not at all alike. They do not look alike to the body's eyes. They come from vastly different backgrounds. Their experiences of the world vary greatly, and their superficial personalities are quite distinct. Nor, at the beginning stages of their functioning as teachers of God, have they as yet acquired the deeper characteristics that will establish them as what they are. God gives special gifts to His teachers because they have a special role in His plan for atonement. Their specialness is, of course, only temporary, set in time as a means of leading out of time. These special gifts, born in the holy relationship toward which the teaching-learning situation is geared, become characteristic of all teachers of God who have advanced in their own learning. In this respect, they are all alike. All differences among the sons of God are temporary. Nevertheless, in time it can be said that the advanced teachers of God have the following characteristics. And I'll just list them out. The characteristics are trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, generosity, patience, faithfulness, and open-mindedness. So we'll just talk about that paragraph. There's a saying, actually, in 12-step recovery that we should focus on the similarities instead of the differences, and that whenever we are focused on the differences, we are really coming from ego. We're really coming from ego. And there's a lot of differences that the body's eyes can see. The experiences, the personalities, the voice differences, the way somebody looks, what they wear, what they have, what they do for a living, yada, 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 on and on it goes. And all of those comparisons can leave only one feeling, and that is of being separate, of being different, of being greater than or less than, of being too much or not enough, or better than or less than anything. It's good to acknowledge that the teachers of God may look different to the body's eyes, but as we heal, what we end up doing is seeing past the body to seeing the sameness, to seeing spirit. And as we heal, the deeper characteristics that establish us as God's teachers of peace and trust and generosity and acceptance and on are revealed. There's a saying that says, "What you are speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear a word that you're saying." And so as we live in peace and integrity and coming from our guidance, we live that way and we extend that. And in that extension, the peace that people are feeling when they're with us and the acceptance and the love that they're feeling helps them to not look at the differences and focus on the sameness. And the special gifts born in the holy relationship toward which the teaching-learning situation is geared become characteristic of all the teachers of God. So there is no one teacher of God having what another teacher of God doesn't have. Again, I love that section in A Course in Miracles where Jesus said, "What has been accomplished within me is potential in you," but it is potential. We are the same. We are the same. And that is key. So I'm going to drop the mic so Tom can share on this.
All right, thanks. When it talks about the special gifts, that they are born in the holy relationship, that's key. That we learn of our power. That we learn that we are not bodies. and that we learn that we have no limitations that the ego would place on us, and that we may learn it in relationships. As a result of this learning, we get to experience the power of Christ. That may be through some ability that you develop. It may be through a certain manifestation that is done through you. It may look in many different ways. Power is definitely a huge part of our learning. Learning that our mind has limitless ability, that our mind is dreamer of this dream, and that it's not the dream that dreams us, but that we dream the dream. So as we join with our brother, our lights come together and we literally share power. And that's what a miracle is. It is the sharing of power. It's not, hey, look what I can do and you can't. That's why it means miracles are not magic tricks. You know, learning this course really does teach you of the power of your mind. And that power is beyond measure. There is no law known to mankind that can keep that power from being what it is. When I first requested a miracle, when I first opened myself to the miracle, part of that miracle was something that defies the laws known to this world. The application of that, the knowledge of that, has actually been sort of the transformative agent, part of the transformative agent in my mind, where I can no longer play small because I know I'm not small, where I share the knowledge of that power so that it can be known by all. The next section, which I'll read actually because I'm done, talks about it, and so it'll help. So the first characteristic is trust. This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. Perception is the result of learning. In fact, perception is learning, because cause and effect are never separated. The teachers of God have trust in the world because they have learned it is not governed by the laws the world made up. It is governed by a power that is in them, but not of them. It is this power that keeps all things safe. It is through this power that the teachers of God look on a forgiven world. And that's just what I was talking about just now, that you know, the power is part of it, you know, and there's no point in denying it, because the power is part of who you are. There's a lesson in the course that says, my mind is ruler of the universe. Well, that's no small statement, folks. The power of the Son of God has no limits. And the only limits the Son of God seems to experience is the limits he puts on himself. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to lift those blocks, those limits, those ideas of littleness, and replace it with the truth. My mind is ruler of the universe. Clearly, this does not refer to the small mind, the ego mind. It refers to the Christ mind that we all share. We create this world together through our one mind. We trust in the world because we have learned it is not governed by the laws the world made up. And you know what? It becomes a funny thing that as you learn of this power within you, it's impossible that anything be impossible. Over the years, I have really learned through experience that nothing is impossible. Whatever situation may look like, the power of God trumps it all. So, and that power is within us because God shared it with us. That is what creation is. When this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. Who would attempt to fly with the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And who would place his faith in the shabby offerings of the eagle when the gifts of God are laid before him? What is it that induces them to make the shift? There's one more thing I wanted to mention. In regards to the previous section on the levels of teaching, if you want to learn more about level 2 or 3, particularly, you can read chapter 19, Forgiveness and the Holy Relationship. In it, you get a lot of practical wisdom as to how the holy relationship develops and becomes accomplished through you and your brother. So, remember, everyone, that whenever you think that there is a problem, a situation that is beyond your ability to heal or solve, remember that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach you that nothing is beyond your ability to do. Holy Spirit wants you to know of the power of your own mind. And all it takes is for you to say, I have done this to myself. I have used the power of my mind in this way. But now I want to learn to use it in a different way. So I'll drop the mic for Lisa.
All right, thanks, Tom. There's a couple of things that I feel guided to say about this section on trust. And that is that while we have an image of punishing God in our mind, anywhere in our mind, it is impossible, impossible to have trust. While we are believing that we could be a victim or that we are guilty, and that we deserve punishment, and that God is going to punish us, it is impossible. It is impossible. And it is necessary in the development of trust to start where we think we are, examining who we think we are, and who we think God is, and who created who. The authority problem is where we think that we made ourselves and we made up our brother. But really, that's all an illusion, that we actually just made an ego for ourselves and an ego for our brother. And because we became so identified with those two roles, the ego for ourselves and the ego for our brother, and forgot that we did not create ourselves, we are relying on the tiny wings of a sparrow rather than the mighty power of an eagle. We have seemingly disconnected from our source. And so, as we detach from who we think we are and who we think our brother is, and start to learn the truth instead from the one within us that speaks to us about who we really are and who our brother really is, and of who God really is, trust naturally starts to occur. We start hearing the truth, and the truth resonates. It has a certain resonation to it where it's recognized. There's less and less conflict. And in that power, that guidance, that awareness, once that's experienced, as we seem to go back to trusting our own little seemingly separate will and listening to the ego again, it becomes less and less tolerable. And we start recognizing the fear more and more quickly. The fear that we have when we feel like we need to run things, when we feel like we need to know things that we don't know in that state of mind. And we surrender, and the more we surrender, the more we develop trust. The more we develop trust, the less fear we have. The less fear we have, we start to really recognize a different world, the real world, not one in which we feel that there are attackers and victims and we need to survive, but one in which we're safe. And we trust that all that happens before us is for us, and that we are guided in all that is provided that we could possibly need. And that is a journey in the development of trust. It's a journey, one in which we're here for. But as we learn who God is, again, as long as we believe that we are guilty and God is a punishing God, that's really the key thing that needs to heal. The undoing of the story. The undoing of the story. And that which is in the world, but not of the world, that is in us, but not of us, governs this, heals us, keeps all things safe. And that is the development of trust. And it's a really beautiful thing, because I can definitely see night and day how I used to live my life and how I live my life today, and how it keeps growing in a deeper trust and a deeper surrender. And the track record of the consistency of the Holy Spirit is bar none, without comparison. And the track record of the ego being the most inconsistent, except consistently fear-based. Tom has his hand up. Great. I'm going to drop the mic. Thanks.
Hi, Lisa. Well, I wanted to ask you, maybe you could talk about how you experience healing that, by the world's standards, may have just seemed impossible. You know, like from what I've heard you talk about, it seemed like it did take the means that are beyond the world for you to have the ability to heal and to be where you are today. So, well, yeah, there's only 4 minutes left, but if you could say something about that. Anyways, so thank you all. Bye.
Well, we can definitely talk about this another time, but I will say this. I prayed for help, and I prayed for help, and it didn't seem to be happening. And I was really suffering, and I was running my life, and I was really running my life, but I was really, really running it crazy. And I was coming from all the stories and all the fear, and I was miserable. I was addicted. I was just crazy. I was throwing my power around, projecting it onto people, and giving them responsibility for my salvation. And I really, really was insane with a capital I. And in these prayers, one of the things that ended up happening was there was a dialogue that started to occur. However, it was mixed in with all the other dialogues that were occurring in my head, but there was something different about it. And so I started to hear a different tone, a different energy, a different feeling that came with it. And then my life took a turn that, by the world standards, would say it was the worst thing that could have happened to somebody. I lost everything. My house was foreclosed, my car was totaled, and I nearly died, and I was in and out of a semi-comatose state. But it wasn't until I really surrendered and said, you know, I'm done. I'm done trying to run my life. I have no idea what's going on, and I'm ready to go or stay or whatever. That was when it was quiet enough in my head, without more spinning or being in charge or trying to run my life with the tiny wings of a sparrow. In that moment, it was just me and the Holy Spirit, and I was able to hear the Holy Spirit clearly for the first time, really, since a couple of instances when I was little. And a lot of things ended up happening that I felt guided to do with the Holy Spirit that nobody would have told me to do, not in a million years. Didn't read to do it, wasn't told to do it, and I was guided to do things that people in the world would say, you need to go the other direction. And by listening to the Holy Spirit, I went from somebody who didn't have anything and was near dead to where I'm at today, which you wouldn't recognize. It's night and day. So I would get more into detail another time, but I'm just really grateful that we all come together and join and, in a sense, share with each other our healing and what Spirit speaks to us and tells us what things mean and what things are for. And I'm just really, really filled with incredible gratitude. So a quick prayer is that I hold you all in the spirit of oneness, knowing that we are the same. No matter what seeming differences our bodies or voices or words seem to carry and show to our physical eyes and ears, we are one. We are the same. Our purpose is the same. Whether we all realize it at the same time or not, it is always the same. It is always love that we seek or love that we extend, but it's always about love. Always. Thank you very much for joining Tom and I, and we'll see you next Wednesday.